Good morning, everyone. Last week, we concluded with a discussion of the view of the Ramban concerning the Seir La'Azazel, the concept that there's a Koach of Ra in the world that manifests itself in many different ways within the realm of the planets, its Ma'adim, its Mars, on the world, its Shmama, that Shayach to Izim, and so on and so forth. And that on Yom Kippur, the Avoda is to, as it were, placate that Koach, but in reality, the concept of that Avoda is the recognition and the acknowledgement that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even these Kochos of Ra that do in fact exist are not chas v'shalom in any way independent existences, but rather are dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu and creations of God, that the Satan also is one of the avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the other malachim. And we noted that this mahalich, that there is such a thing as a creation or the existence of Ra or Choshech, is not necessarily universally accepted. And one manifestation of this can be seen in the Rambam, Mizmor Nevuchim, Chela Gimel Perek Yud. And the Rambam here discusses, what page is that?
24.
Okay. The Rambam here discusses especially the Pasuk we're all familiar with, at least a variation on this Pasuk, from Yeshayahu, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, Oseh Shalom Uvorei Ra. So the Pasuk implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Or, but he also creates Choshech, though note the difference between Yotzer and Vorei, and likewise Oseh Shalom, but Uvorei Ra. The Gemara discusses why we say Borei Sakol and Tefillah as opposed to Borei Ra, but the Pasuk certainly implies, along the lines of what we saw in the Ramban and Reb Tzadok and Nefesh HaChaim last week, that Ra is something that exists and was created, and created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam writes, we'll just read this section in English, "We must now state our opinion in accordance with the result of philosophical research. You know that he who removes the obstacle of motion is to some extent the cause of its motion." So for example, let's say there's a ball at the top of a hill with a stick in front of it, and I remove the stick and now the ball rolls down the hill. So who is seen to be the cause of the ball rolling? Well, on the one hand, it's the gravitational force is what's causing the ball to roll down the hill. It's not me, I didn't push it. But at the same time, I'm certainly the cause for the ball rolling down the hill, because by removing the obstacle that was blocking the ball, that's what causes the ball to roll. For example, the Rambam writes, "If one removes the pillar which supports the beam, he causes the beam to move, as is stated by Aristotle in his Physics. In this sense, we say of him who removed a certain property that he produced the absence of that property, although absence of a property is nothing positive. Just as we say of him who puts out the light at night that he has produced darkness, so we say of him who destroyed the sight of any being that he produced blindness." So we say, I produce darkness when I turn off the light. I didn't produce darkness. Darkness is simply the absence of light. So it's not technically accurate to say I produce darkness, but the Rambam writes that since I am the cause of darkness in the sense that before I did my action, there was light, and now there is darkness. Or likewise, if you blind someone, blindness cannot be say I caused the blindness, because blindness is simply a heder. It's the absence of sight. Nevertheless, I am seen as being the cause of blindness. Although darkness and blindness are negative properties which require no agent. In accordance with this view, we explain the following pasuk from Yeshayah. Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech Oseh Shalom Uvorei Ra. For darkness and evil are non-existing things. They're hedarim. There is no such thing as the existence of darkness, and likewise there is no such thing as the existence of Ra. Darkness is the absence of light, and evil is the absence of Tov. So what do we mean when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Borei Ra? or Borei Choshech? The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes their existence in the sense that he allows for it. So it's not that he creates Choshech, because Choshech is not a creation. Borei Ra means that he is the cause of the absence of light. And accordingly, the action is attributed back to him. Consider that the prophet does not say Ose Choshech or Ose Ra, because darkness and evil are not things in a positive existence. And then he explains that the term bara is something that's specifically associated with nothingness. That's why it says Bereshis bara Elokim, to highlight the idea that there was Bria Yesh Me'ayin and the like. Now then the Rambam says, I'll just say an interesting but parenthetical point. Thus, we say if one abstains from delivering a fellow man from death, although he is able to do so, that he killed him. We know that if someone could have saved someone's life, and he doesn't, so it's ki'ilu shofech damim. And he's saying this is based off that principle, just like it says borei choshech, because by causing the absence of light, I am considered to be the cause of darkness. So too, if a person can save someone's life and he doesn't, it is as though he killed him. He didn't actively kill him, he simply failed to save him, but that is considered the cause of killing him. This is interesting because this is Reb Chaim's understanding of the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, where Reb Chaim talks about the idea. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, in Ezun Eshech, says, Shnaim Shalchu Bamidbar, and there's not enough water for both of them to survive. So the question is, what should they do? Should the person drink his own water, or should he give it to his friend, or should they split it? So the Gemara quotes a debate. According to Ben Azai, he cannot drink the water himself, Al Yera B'mos Chavero. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, he could drink it himself. And quotes a pasuk, Chayacha Kotmin. So the question is, why do we even need a pasuk to Rabbi Akiva, and what is Ben Azai thinking? We shouldn't need a pasuk. Why is it that I have to give water to somebody who's dying of thirst? The mitzvah of Lo Samad Al Dam Reyecha. Lo Samad Al Dam Reyecha is in Yarg Bel Yavor. So why would I have a havamina that I would need to give up my water to save his life? And Ayin Sham and the Reb Chaim and Machlokas between Tosis and the Rambam and the like, but the Yesod that Reb Chaim derives from the Rambam is that failure to save someone is as though you kill them. That might be why there's a Havamina without the Pasuk of Chayacha Kodmin, that even Lo Samal Dam Reyacha is Yarg Vel Yavor. And that's in fact exactly what the Rambam says in Mon Vuchim. For some reason Reb Chaim doesn't quote the Mon Vuchim, but that's what he's saying over here. So the same thing the Rambam writes with respect to the creation of evil. It couldn't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created evil. He writes, Avapulosav kulam tov gamor, shehu eno ose ra kametzios v'chol hametzios tov. V'haros kulam hadarim lo title bahem pula. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates humans. Humans have free will. Because they have free will, they could choose evil. And as such, in a way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered to be the Borei Ra, even though in a direct sense, he is not truly the creator of evil. Now, this view, both with respect to Choshech and with respect to Ra, is not shared by all thinkers. It is interesting because the Ramban in Parsha Shmos does quote this Rambam on the pasuk of Mi Asam Ilaim and Iver, so he quotes this Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. But elsewhere, he implies otherwise. One particularly striking formulation of this idea is the Maharsha in Tamid Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. He writes that we reject the Das Haminim Shachoshech Eino Ela Heder Or, V'lo Hayatzarach Bria Kodem Haor, Aval Anachnu Adas Hamaminim. We reject the opinion of the Minim, who say that Or is simply the absence of light, Rather, we, Maminim, B'nei Maminim, believe that HaKadosh Baruch created both Or and Choshech, Yesh Me'ayin. Likewise, the Gra writes in his Sefer Yetzirah, in his commentary in Sefer Yetzirah, HaChoshech Eino Hader, Elohu Bria Nifla'a, Kemo Shenamar Uvari Choshech. In Aderes Yahu, he writes, then Parshas Bereishis on the Pasuk by Avdel, Elokim Bein Or Lein HaChoshech, Velo kechachmei umos haChoshech hu hader haOr, not like the chachmei umos haOlam that simply see Choshech as hader haOr, aval hu bria rak she'ein tov nigla le'ein haShemesh, lachenem lo nemar ki tov etzel haChoshech. One of the interesting things here is that both views, at first glance, seem to claim that the other view is minus. Meaning to say, those who take the rationalist perspective of the Rambam says that anybody who thinks that Choshech and that Ra is a creation is minus. Now, why would the existence of Choshech and Ra be a minus? Very simply, because we know that there were religions, maybe there still are religions, who believe that Ra exists, that Choshech exists, that there's a power of evil that somehow thwarts that of God and the like. And likewise, those, the Maharsha and the Gra, write that it's the opinion of the Chachmei Umos HaOlam and the Minim who say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create Choshech. And the reason is because they say that it's minus to think that there's something that exists besides God, including Choshech. And as the Pasuk, at least the simple reading of the Pasuk, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Choshech and Borei Ra. Now, the truth of the matter is that when you think about the matter a little more carefully and you look at the Makoros, the Machlokas is not as great as it seems. When the Rambam and Rav Sadia Gaon writes this explicitly, claim that Choshech is a Heder, and anybody thinks that Choshech and Ra exist, that's Minus. What they mean to say is that anyone who thinks that Choshech and Ra is an independent entity, something that can fight or thwart HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as though there are two powers in the universe, the power of good and the power of evil, Chas V'Shalom, and that they fight each other and the like, so that's certainly Minus, and everybody's going to agree to this. And therefore, everybody would agree to what Rav Sadia Gaon writes, that those who think that Ra exists and is not just a Heder is Minus, because what he means to say is that anyone who thinks that there's an independent Koach of Ra in the world is absolutely a heretic, like we saw in the Ramban last week. The Ramban, even though he accepts that there are these Kochos of Ra, doesn't say that these are independent Kochos. And likewise, when the Maharsha and the Gra and the like say that we absolutely reject the notion of Choshech being a Heder, they don't mean every instance of Choshech. They would agree, presumably, that when you turn off the light and there's darkness, that darkness might be a Heder. And if you look carefully, this is a point made by Rav Kasher. Rav Kasher has a chapter on this topic in his Mefaner Tzfunos. It's an interesting chapter. That's where I got the quote from Sefer Yetzirah, the Grand Sefer Yetzirah. It's not like I was learning the Grand Sefer Yetzirah. Anyhow, and he makes the point, which is, I think, correct, that we have to distinguish between the Choshech and Pasuk Beis, which is not necessarily a Hader, at least according to the Gra and the Maharsha Udi'ime, and the Choshech and Pasuk Dalid, where of Perek Aleph in Sefer Bereishis, which is in fact a Hader. This you see this in some of the commentaries in Parshas Bo, where they point out that the Choshech, or at least some of the Choshech and the Makas Choshech, was not simply the absence of light, but more of a positive creation. Anyhow, this, though, as I said, I'm not saying there's no debate. I'm just pointing out that the debate is not as stark as it seems at first. Yes?
You say that what would be the problem to say there's an independent creation?
Two independent creations? To say that Choshech is a creation is okay. To say that Choshech is an independent power somehow independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there's nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the cause for all existence.
Well, I suppose anything else in the world, you can say that Hashem created it. Why would we think specifically kosher?
Because there are people that think that. There are people that think that evil is an independent power that that challenges and fights the powers of good and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the like. So it's very important, because Zoroastrianism and the like, in fact, this was a common view of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah at the time of the Gemara. So it's very important to stress that that perspective is kfira. Yes? Yes. It's on your Merkoros.
They say you can prove it by the torch. If you go to an underground dungeon, the torch makes more light in the nighttime than in the daytime, even though that's how people kept track of time that way.
Right. Right, yeah. The Gra talks about it. If you look at that Gra, Nadaras Eliyahu, he quotes various proofs that the philosophers bring that Choshech is, the scientist, I guess, is the lack of light, and he deflects those proofs. It's an interesting discussion. There are scientific proofs brought by the Jewish Makoros in both directions. And it's anyway, it's interesting. Look at Rav Sadia going. It's an interesting point. Yeah?
By light and darkness, I can understand there's like a spectrum, and once you cross a certain line, it's either light or it's darkness. But by good and evil, does he mean there's no neutral zone? Like you have to be good or evil? You can't.
No, I don't think they're making that point. That's an independent discussion. I mean, it's a good question. It's something to think about. Is everything categorized as tov or ra, or is there evil? But I don't, or is there something neutral? And that is a topic which is discussed on many levels by the Baalei Mussar or by the philosophers alike. But I don't think that this particular discussion has to be koveya upon that question.
I thought that if you say the absence of good is evil, then
no, because there you would say if. There might be different levels of absence of good. In other words, I hear where you're getting it from.
Fall back, you mean?
Yeah, how far you go from good. Okay. Returning now to the question that we have been discussing on and off when we don't go on tangents, which is the contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. So the next approach that we have is probably the approach that we're most familiar with, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists outside of time, and there is no contradiction between free will and foreknowledge, because the contradiction can only exist within time. As the Ramban writes in Shmos Paragimel, Ki bavur shehazman ha'over v'ha'atid, Kulo bibore have, ki ein chalifos v'tzeva imo, v'lo avro miyamav klum. And the idea is that what is the contradiction? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're going to do tomorrow, how can we have free will? But that presumes that God exists within time, and the contradiction is only a contradiction within time. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of time and exists outside of time, then there could be no contradiction. And it's interesting that this resolution is not stated explicitly, as far as I know, in the Rishonim. As I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago, some understand that's what the Rambam holds. The earliest source that I found that explicitly states this resolution is the Medrash Shmuel in Avos. The Medrash Shmuel lived in Sfas. He was born in 1540, and he writes, Afilu im Hashem yodea miyom holada sadam, The whole concept of before and afterwards and the like are only relevant with respect to existences that exist within time. And therefore, his future knowledge is not in any way gzeira. The Tosfos Yontif also develops this idea. You have it here. And there are those, despite the elegance of this solution, who object, who thinks that it's insufficient. The Or Sameach and Hilchos Tshuva Perek Hei has issues with it, partially quoted over here as well. So this is a relatively simple, probably the simplest resolution to this issue. Another resolution, yes. Well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created time, and time is not, the Midrashim point this out, the Rambam and Maor Nevuchim talks about this at length, that time isn't something that exists inherently, it's a creation like everything else. The Rambam writes extensively how time is connected to motion and connected to physical metzios and the like. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is totally non-corporeal, cannot possibly exist within time, because time is the property of something that physically exists.
So then how, we mentioned a couple weeks ago about necessary truths, and that God might be, I guess, confined to necessary truths.
Even if that's true, because necessary truths are totally non-physical. Time is something that's shaykh to the physical. That was the point we saw from the Chazon Ish. Okay. Another possible, yes.
Sorry, so what is, so what's the worst of man's problem with
it then? Ein Sham, it's over here. The Ravid we saw earlier, we thought one way of understanding the Ravid is that there isn't absolute foreknowledge. Another possible weighting of the Ravid is to, along the lines of the answer we just gave, but slightly different, is to say that, well, we'll read the Lashon of the Ravid, right, if you go back. The Ravid writes, Vizu hayadia ein agzeira. This type of knowledge, meaning to say the type of knowledge that God has about the future, is not compulsive. Now, what does he mean, this type of knowledge? What is the Ravid referring to? So the Ravid perhaps clarifies this point in Perek Vav of Hilchos Tshuva. The first Ravid we saw was in Perek Hei. And in Perek Vav, he talks about various prophecies concerning future behavior. And he writes, Aval v'kam ha'am hazeh v'zanah kvar amarnu she'en b'inyan hazeh yediyas habore gzeira. So kvar amarnu, meaning to say he's referring back to his comments in chapter 5, so he sees that this is a similar point. We already said that Yediyas HaBorei does not cause it to be a gzeira. The Kol Shekein Bekan, Sha'af Moshe Amar, Ki Hashches Tashchisun, Hein Be'odeni Chai Imachem, Va'af Ki Acharei Mosi, The Kol Shekein HaBorei, Sha'yayachol Omar Kein Belo Gzeira. So, what the Ravid here seems to be saying is that predictions of future behavior that are based off of current conditions do not challenge free will. God knows us so well that he knows in advance what we are going to freely choose. And thus, we're free to choose otherwise. We are no way compelled. He can predict at the same time our future with perfect accuracy. And textual support for this theory can be found, among other things, in the Psukim, like Dvarim Lamed Aleph, Ki Adati Es Yitzro, Asher Hu Oseh, Hayom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yodeya Yitzro, meaning to say he knows our nature, and based on his perfect knowledge of our nature, he can predict what we are going to do without that awareness in any way compromising our freedom. This concept is adopted actually by a number of contemporary philosophers. They don't quite say it this way, but they argue for something called compatibilism, which means to say that they believe that free will is compatible with determinism, not so much determinism based off of God, but rather determinism based off of a person's nature. And this idea is stated explicitly by a number of Jewish thinkers. The Chassid Yaivitz, for example, writes in Avos Per Gimel, V'emshel l'cha mashal l'tzayir ha'inyin ha'nechbar hazeh b'sich l'cha tzior shalem. Adam echad yesh lo shnei banim ha'echad tzadik v'chacham v'sheni rasha v'yesh lefanav sefer v'sayef v'amar ze yikach ha'sefer v'ze yikach ha'sayef. So he goes ahead and he has his two children and he puts in front of them two things, a book and a toy, or a sword in his case, but we'll say toy, right? So he knows one of the kids are going to choose the book, one of the kids are going to choose the sword or the toy. It's not like they don't have free will, but yet he can predict with absolute certainty what they're going to do. So you see here that knowledge about a person's nature can accurately predict what a person is going to choose without saying that these two kids don't actually have free will. Thomas Aquinas may have had a theory of this, a version of this theory. He gave the mashal of someone at the top of the mountain seeing what's going to happen ahead, even though the people below don't know and the like. Now, of course, the problem with this answer is that it implies that we're not actually free, at least if you take it to its logical conclusion, because if everything that we are going to do is already charted from the moment of our birth, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows our nature, so then do we really have the choice to choose otherwise? Sounds like not. So there are those that try to be miyashev and say no. Determinism is compatible with free will, even if it's absolute determinism, even if what I'm going to choose about every single thing under each circumstance. But this too is a very hard answer to fully wrap your head around. Yeah.
It says that if the other option is that God's knowledge is flawed, if you were to do
right, exactly. Okay, so this ends our discussion about the various answers. I think we gave seven answers to the question of resolving foreknowledge and free will. So now we're going to turn to another very important question with respect to the question, the nature of free will, and that is, what is the scope of free will? What are we actually free about? And when we look at the Rambam, we get the conclusion that our free will is quite extensive. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shuva, Perkei Halacha Beis, Al yavor b'machshav techa davar zeh she'omrim tipshei umos ha'olam v'rov golmei bnei Yisrael, she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer al ha'adam metchilas b'riyasu lios tzadik or rasha. Don't say that God decrees in advance what a person will become. Eina davar kein. Ela kol adam ro'i lios tzadik k'moshe rabbeinu o rasha ki ravam. Every person has the ability to be as righteous as Moshe and as wicked as Yeravam. Righteous as Moshe, doesn't it say, Lo kam b'Yisrael? So that, of course, is talking about Nevuah. When it comes to Tzidkus, Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate tzaddik. So we too could be like that. And likewise, we could be as wicked as Yeravam. It's interesting that he picks Yeravam. I wouldn't have thought of Yeravam as the worst possible person in the world. Some of the Malchei Yisrael that came later on seem to be worse. Maybe he picks the Yeravam because Yeravam's decisions really totally changed the course of history. When Yeravam decided to split and then set up the nature of Malchus Yisrael in the way that he did, that totally changed everything in the future course of history. And he's saying that everybody has that same koach of Bechira. Then the Rambam continues, not only that, but everybody could be O Chacham, O Sachal, intelligent or foolish, O Rachman, O Achzari, O Kili, O Shav, V'chein Shar Kol HaDeos. Ve'ein mishi yekfehu, v'lo gazru gozer alav, v'lo mi mosh shemoshcho le'echad mishnei hadrachim, ela hu me'atzmo u'mida'ato notel le'ezer derech sheyirtze. There's no one that compels him in any way. He totally chooses his destiny. Hu sheyirmiyahu amar mipi elyon lo teitzei haraos v'atov, meaning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ra and Tov doesn't emanate. It's our choice. Kolomer ena bari gozer ala adam lios Tov v'lo lios Ra. V'kevin shekein hu nimsa ze hachote hu hifsid al atzmo. Therefore, there's absolute responsibility when the person sins. Ulefikach roi lo livkos ulukonin al chataav ve'al ma she'asa l'nafsho v'gam la ra'a. Hu shekasev acharav ma'is onen adam chai v'chasev amar hol v'rishusenu v'yadenu mida'atenu asinu kol aros ra'ui lanu lachzer v'tshuva. The Lazo Vishenu, that's why Hilchos the discussion of free will is in Hilchos Tshuva, because we are free, so therefore we must do tshuva, etc., etc. If you look carefully, the Rambam here is concerned with defeating four different grounds for denying free will. One is astrological fatalism. In other words, somehow or another, the constellations or the stars determine our future. Two is an idea that's common in Kalam, which is a Muslim philosophy prominent at that time, who hold that there's some type of divine will or causality that God determines a person's future. Number three, he goes ahead and he deals with the issue of psychological determinism. And four, he alludes to the problem of foreknowledge, as we saw earlier. There's a nice discussion of how the Rambam specifically addresses these points in an article by Moshe Sokol. Anyhow, his conclusion seems to be radical freedom. He writes that we could be whoever we want to be. We could be Moshe or Yeravam. And freedom isn't limited, he seems to be saying, to moral choices, what we saw in the Gemara before, Yerushamayim, but even includes things like intelligence and stupidity. And this extension is somewhat troubling. First of all, it doesn't seem to be true. A person is born with certain cerebral abilities. Many aspects of our nature are determined either by our genes, by our nature, or by our environment, by our nurture. And in fact, the Gemara itself seems to make this very point. The Gemara in Nida Tazayin Amud Beis says, Darsh Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Oso malach ha-memuna al ha-herayon, lila shemho, v'no tel tipo ma'amid al-tnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'om ilafana v'ibonu shel olam, tipa zu ma'atei aleha, gibor ochal ha-shchacham lo tipesh ashiro ani, v'ilu rasho tzadik lo ke'amar. So the Gemara says that from the moment of conception, it is already determined whether a person will be chacham o tipesh. As opposed to Yerushamayim, where the Gemara says with respect to moral choices, we have freedom, when it comes to things like intelligence, so that is something that's predetermined. So Rambam seems to be against the Gemara, and also, again, very, very unintuitive. So the Rambam himself addresses to this point in Shmona Prakim, and there he writes that he absolutely does not reject the notion that people have natural predilections, even with respect to education as well as other physical traits. He writes, Amna mani yodea shehamuska malav bitorasenu umi filosofi yavan shepeulos adam kulan mesuros lo ein machriach osobahen. We absolutely are free, we're not compelled. V'lo mevio soshi ateu letzad malo chisaron chutz mi hu atzmo. Ela shetia lo hachanas hamezagim levad. Shiyakel alav inyan oyachban. There is such a concept as natural tendencies or predilections or the like. Just like some people will have an easier time learning math or playing music or the like, so too, some people will have an easier time remembering things or understanding things or the like. Ef sharshi valeit adam beteva bal ma'alo bal chisaron. Kimoshi ef sharshi valeit beteva bal melacha miha melachos. You're not born knowing how to do something. You're not born knowing how to play music or do math. Aval ef sharshi valeit beteva muhan lamalo lechisaron. You might be born with a nature that makes it easier for you to learn math or to play music or the like. Biyos pu'ulos ha'achad yoser kalos alav mi pu'ulos ha'acher. Kigon shiye etzem ochozach v'yakel alav lilmod. So some people it's easier for them to learn. Aval im yaniach b'mizgo zem ibli lilmod. Just because a person is born with the ability to learn more easily, it doesn't mean that if he doesn't actually learn, he won't end up being smart. So the Rambam here writes that he doesn't mean to say that it's not easier or harder for some people. It's not that everybody is created equally in the sense of having the same equal abilities and skills. People are born with natural tendencies and predilections and the like, and this very much is true with respect to Chachma and Sichlus as well. Nevertheless, ultimately, the extent to which a person will realize their natural abilities is entirely within their domain, and free will manifests itself in that respect. Now, from here you might think, okay, still, it might be a little harder for everybody to become a great philosopher or a great Talmud Chacham, but it's possible. The Rambam, though, in Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, writes explicitly that there are certain things that are probably totally beyond a person. He writes, V'chein hadin be'atzmo v'hasagos, I'm reading from the underlined part, v'hasagos ha'sichlios ha'anoshios, yesh yisron l'ishe ha'min, zeh al zeh, v'ham yisron rav. There's a huge variation among human beings with respect to their ability to understand intellectual ideas. V'zeh gam kein mevor nigle me'od l'vali ha'chachma ad she'inyan echad yotzi'uhu ish me'iyuno be'atzmo. Somebody might figure something out on his own, and another person will not be able to understand that idea, even if taught, forever. Even if he has the best teachers, he still will not be able to understand a certain type of, perhaps very abstract or esoteric concept. Simply his brain is incapable of understanding that. So what then does the Rambam mean when he writes in Hilchos Tshuva that everybody could be wise? So presumably he means that everyone can use their innate or acquired wisdom to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the best of their ability. And each person can fulfill their potential. And in that sense, they could each be like Moshe Rabbeinu, in the sense that he fully realized his potential. And perhaps the Hagos Maimonios on this halacha already alludes to this point when he says that notice how the Rambam uses the word sachal and not tipesh. He argues that the word sachal is in the hands of man, whereas tipesh is in the hands of God. And though he uses the word chacham, chacham can mean both innate wisdom, raw intelligence, as well as acquired intelligence. So perhaps then free will doesn't mean equal opportunity in terms of quantitative terms, but it does mean equal opportunity in terms of qualitative terms. And the same thing is true with respect to environmental factors. There's no doubt that a person living within a wicked society or family or abusive family or all sorts of other things will face different challenges and different choices than someone born in a very different environment. And just as we don't pick our innate abilities, we also don't pick the environment that we're born into. And the Rambam himself, once again, stresses the very, very powerful effect that environmental factors have on a person. In Hilchos Deos Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, he writes, Derech b'riyaso shel adam lios nimshach b'dei osav uv'masav achareya v'chaverav. The noeg b'minag anche medinaso, people tend to follow the minhagim, the customs, the practices of their fellow citizens and those that surround them. And therefore, it's so important, the Rambam writes, to cleave to the righteous and withdraw from the wicked. Lefikach tzarcha adam l'skhaber l'tzadikim v'leishiv etzel hachamim tamid k'dei she'ilmod v'maseyam v'yisrachik min ha'rishayim and the like. And the Rambam goes so far as to say that if one lives in a wicked society, they should leave. And if they can't find an alternative, so better to live alone in the desert than to live amongst evildoers. And that's because it's nearly impossible, I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it's nearly impossible to choose good when you're within the company of such bad people. One's bechira expresses itself much more in the decision to leave than in the decision to stay and do good. Because to some degree, that might even be impossible. So, as we mentioned, the Rambam concedes that everybody's born into a particular environment. And accordingly, the Rambam would certainly agree that environmental factors play a large role in a person. So, even though the Rambam seems to endorse this absolute freedom, and he definitely does believe in free will, but this doesn't mean to say that the way a person's born is a tabula rasa and everybody's exactly the same. No. Natural predilections, genes, as well as environmental factors are certainly a major factor in determining the choices a person will make, and even the Rambam certainly concedes that point. And this idea, yes?
Rambam is acknowledging environmental factors. What is just the impetus of that person to want to make the choice to do good to leave?
So we're going to get to that. But the answer is, well, we'll get to that. It's a very important question. And the Rambam certainly believes that there is freedom, very strong freedom. It just, freedom doesn't mean that there is no effect of nature and nurture. But we'll return to that point. This idea is reflected in the Gemara's understanding of the idea of mazel. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnun Vav Amud Aleph says, Hai man debemadim yehe gavar ashidama amravashi o umna o ganva o tabcha o mawala. Someone born in the mazel of madim, so they will have this predilection towards blood. But that natural predilection can be directed in a positive way or a negative way. So they could become a murderer, or a bloodletter, a doctor, or a thief, or a butcher, or a moel. They can use that predilection towards blood in both a positive and negative way. And therefore, free will manifests itself in the choices they make based off of the nature that they are given. The Gemara implies that they're not going to become an accountant, but they can use that natural predilection in both very positive ways to do mitzvos, or in a more neutral way, or in a negative way. And in that sense, they're totally free. So freedom doesn't reflect itself in the ability to do anything you want, but freedom does reflect itself in the ability to choose right from wrong, given the predilections and the nature that we're born with. This is, of course, very important in the realm of chinuch, as the Gra famously points out on the pasuk chinuch l'nar al pi darko, v'gam kiyaskin lo yasur mimenu. If you educate him al pi darko, to use his natural and innate abilities, so then he won't deviate. If you try to quench that natural tendencies and push him in one direction or the other, then eventually he will deviate. There are many thinkers who say perhaps in extraordinary times or with extraordinary effort a person can change their nature, and that's an interesting discussion again in the Bali Musar. Reb Tzadok writes that with tefillah a person can dive into our Kaddish Baruch Hu to totally change their nature. That's the idea of Lev Tov Bara Elokim. Bara Elokim, you ask for a new Bria, Lev Tahor Bara Li Elokim, that David HaMelech is saying, please create within me a Lev Tov, and that's a true change. He has a beautiful explanation of the Psukim in Yechezkel. You have them over here based off of that. But generally speaking, our freedom is realized in the way in which we direct our natural proclivities. The Meiri expresses this idea on that Gemara and Shabbos in a very powerful way. Man is born with a particular nature, and his freedom lies in his ability to overcome his nature. The Meiri writes, "Mepinos hadas umiyosodos hamuna lahamin shabachira biyad ha'adam b'chol pe'ulos av lasos kiratzon ish ve'ish v'im noda miderach ha'chachma shemim arachas ha'kochavim bo b'nolad kochos v'kinyan midos im mikoach ha'yom im mikoach ha'sha mikol makom yesh lahamin shekol ze lo yimna ha'bechira mimenu v'lo yikra b'ze mochrach rak chote b'vechira v'ratzon mepnei shashem nasan biyadu b'chira l'achriach teva toldaso v'gidrei hadas yeshivuhu mitivo limshol ba'atzmo l'vilti leches acharei ikvos toldosav v'yuchal livchor ba'atzmo derech acheres b'zulas teva toldaso. We saw a similar idea in the Raivet in Hukhav Tumah Parakei. The idea is that a person is born with a particular nature. Freedom lies in the ability to overcome that nature. The Tashbeit writes a similar thing. He writes that even though a person's nature is indeed ostensibly shaped by his genes or his environment, he has the ability to go against his nature. But that doesn't happen automatically. On the contrary, the Tashbeit writes, that could only happen if we live life thoughtfully, if we live life actively. And therefore it's possible for a person to live their entire life deterministically without actively going against their nature. And in that sense, if you don't, as it were, stop and think and consider the direction of your life, then naturally you'll live life without freedom. He writes, "V'afal pisha adam b'chiri levatel zos gzeira," meaning to say we are born, as it were, with a certain gzeira, not an unchangeable gzeira, but a certain nature. And a person has the ability to be mevatel that gzeira, al pi sichlo, if he chooses to live life using his seichel, aval im yisnaheg lefi tivo, hagzeira hi miskayemes. So, a person's freedom lies, the Tashbetz writes, in his decision. Is he going to live life naturally, without thinking? Which is not really a decision. It's just the chazaka de meikara. Or, a person has the ability to decide to go against their nature. That's where freedom lies. Am I going to just follow what's natural? Or am I going to do what's difficult? The Malbim in Iov, you have it here, I'm not going to go through it, notes that in a number of places that's a central discussion in the book of Iov, going back and forth between Iov and his friends and the like. The Chassid Yaivitz again points out that most people fail in this respect. Rov ha'anashim nisharim al tivam. They go through life without actually changing their nature. And sometimes their nature might be good, sometimes it might be bad. That's based largely on your environment, or your surroundings, or your genes. But whatever it is that we're born into, we have the ability to just live life by coasting, or by actively changing, to go against our teva. And that's really where our free will manifests itself. And if we take this idea one step further, we could argue that perhaps we are not really free with respect to everything, but simply with respect to certain things. The Ramchal, in Derech Chachma, Perek Yud Beis, you have it over here, makes this point explicitly. V'hine tira shiyesh bepeulos ha'adam muchrachos uvechirios. If you look at the matter carefully, you'll see that there are certain aspects, certain decisions that a person has that are indeed muchrachos. And then there are those that are free. Ki yesh ma shetivo machricho, o kibutzo hamedini, some things are basically determined, predetermined, based off of their nature or based off of environmental factors. V'yesh hatluyos lagamri bivchiraso. And then there are those decisions that are indeed left to his freedom, the Ramchal says. The amnam muchrachos ein b'hanetza, when it comes to the decisions that are muchrachos, so there's nothing you could do about them. Ki achreach lo yeshubach v'lo yiguneh. And of course, then you're not held responsible for those decisions. You're neither punished nor rewarded. Amnam afshar shetimtza b'peula achas harkava me'achreach v'abachira. And then he talks about how some are mixtures of these two. This idea basically is the basis for the famous concept of Rav Dessler, the Nekudas HaBechira. At first glance, when you read the Rambam and then you read Rav Dessler, it sounds like they're diametrically opposed. But as we've seen, even the Rambam is not, I don't know if he would agree fully, but is not so far from Rav Dessler as would seem at first. What's the idea of the Nekudas HaBechira? I'm sure you've all heard of it, and so I'm not going to be marech. You can read portions over here. If you're not, it is important to read. But Rav Dessler basically says that our freedom manifests itself in an active sense, not with respect to most of the options that we have. Rather, with respect to a particular nekuda, a particular point. So I, for example, don't really consider the possibility of murdering someone or stealing or the like, bank robbery. Technically speaking, I'm free to do so in the sense that I have the power to do so, but it's not something that I would actively consider. So there are many evil actions that I don't consider. And likewise, there are all sorts of good actions that I don't consider, that are beyond my nekuda sabachira. Not going to fast for the next 40 days, or say tikkun chatzos for all sorts every night, or cry, or there's so many things that a person that doesn't actively consider. So where is their freedom? This is not the denial of free will, but rather, it's simply pointing out that our freedom manifests itself usually within a very narrow range. And it's within that range that we truly have freedom. And not only that, but the choices a person makes at that nekuda will determine where their nekuda sabachira is going forward. So if a person, their particular struggle is, are they going to, the davenings at 8 o'clock, they set their alarm for 7:45, and that way they could be on time for davening. Great. And their struggle is, when the alarm goes off at 7:45, do they go ahead and they press snooze and sleep for 5 minutes and then they're 5 minutes late, or do they get up right away and then they're on time? So they're not considering going to Vasikin, and they're not considering davening, getting to davening 10 minutes early, and they're not really actively considering just skipping davening or davening in their room or the like. The question is, are they going to come to davening on time or press snooze and come 5 minutes late? If they make a high-level choice for a while, every day for a month, they overcome their desire to sleep a little longer and they come on time to davening, then perhaps they'll face a new struggle. They'll naturally, it's easy for them to come on time to davening. Maybe they'll decide, I should come 5 minutes early to davening so I could get my tefillin on before they start. And likewise, if they go ahead and they make the low-level choice and they press snooze every day, they're no longer going to really even consider getting up on time for davening. The question is, are they going to come 5 minutes late or 10 minutes late? And so on and so forth with respect to all the decisions in life. And moreover, this leads to another important point, which is that a person is ultimately judged not by their objective accomplishments in life, but rather how far they have grown, how far they've deviated from their initial nekuda sabachira. So yes, a person doesn't consider most options, but within the broad, within life, then there's tremendous potential to grow and to change and to end up in a very, very different place than where you started. Yes?
Can I interrupt for a second? So how does that fit in? Or he's admitting that some people can't learn anything, can't learn everything, because they're born, let's say, with a lower intellectual ceiling.
So it's pretty unfair, you're saying.
According to, but that person still, like, could they be evil, that person could potentially have a tzaddik?
So I think, yes, the Rambam writes everybody could be Kamo Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's not a guzma. The Rambam really thinks it's true. Everybody could be Kamo Moshe Rabbeinu. And this gets back to the point that we talked about then, which is how much you focus on in the Rambam in terms of the intellect and how much you focus on other aspects. And I think that it's a complex question, and the palace analogy notwithstanding, you see from the other passages we saw in the Rambam that the Rambam also held that there are other factors beyond those that are purely intellectual. And that being the case, then we can accept what the Rambam writes, that absolutely everybody could be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't mean that everybody could be as smart as Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps, but it does mean that everyone can be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. In terms of the potential in that respect, everyone is equal. There's absolute equality in that sense. And that might be yet another indication that we shouldn't play up intellectual achievements so much within the Rambam, because if we did, then there'd be no way to understand what he means when he says everybody could be like Moshe Rabbeinu, when at the same time he also says that there's certain people that will never reach certain intellectual achievements. So I think that's an excellent point. Yes?
Did Rambam concede that within this realm, people are like Moshe Rabbeinu in an ontological goodness sense, or that they're like Moshe Rabbeinu in that they reach their potential of goodness each according to their own?
Both, I think. Unless... Yes?
I guess building up Yose's point, I guess certain statements of Chazal are otherwise that Moshe meant that the Tamatar, unless the Tamatar can make a cool element to the star. Would that only be applicable within a certain group of people that have the same abilities? Whereas if somebody is done, that's in.
Maybe. Again, in the end of the day, everybody could be like Moshe. So how a person ends up like Moshe for them is going to be different for each person. Okay, we have about 2 or 3 minutes left, so I'm just going to introduce the next question that we're going to deal with, and then we'll start with it next time. And the next question concerning the scope of free will is there such a thing as a nisayon that can't be passed? Now this, of course, relates very much to the current discussion, if we assume that there are certain things that are beyond a person's nekudas habechira. We've often been told that there's no such thing as a nisayon that can't be passed. But yet, there are also instances where we seem to assume that a person can't make a particular choice. And I guess we'll start with this next time, Yirtzeh Hashem. So have a wonderful Shabbos, and I'll see you around. Kol Tuf.